Good afternoon. It is 2 p.m. It is time for Community Focus. Folks, this is our first live program of 2026. We're off to an awesome start of this new year. I'm so glad to have you with us. My name is Melvin C. Burns II. I co-host this program with my friend and brother, Gregory T. Roberts. As you've seen most of last year, Gregory T. is still recovering. We're believing that 2026 will get him back very soon, and we're back to being the dynamic duo that you know. Community Focus, if you're joining us new this year, we're a program that likes to get information, knowledge out to our community. We've had a wide range of guests. You can catch us on Facebook at WUVS 103.7 to Beat Community Focus. And of course, we're live on the radio as well as our broadcast is live on Facebook. Let's get to a few things as we start the year off. Our program is sponsored by This Is It Restaurant. Open Fridays 12 noon to 6 p.m., Saturdays 12 noon to 6 as well. Their motto is keeping the dream alive. They offer chitterlings, neck bones, dressing, greens, and much more. They are located at 2723 Peck Street in Muskegon Heights, and we're glad to have them as a supporter of this radio station. We're also supported by Carter's Funeral Home, located at 3355 Merriam Street in Muskegon Heights. Carter Funeral Home is led by Eric L. Hawthorne, and they offer funeral services, memorials, cremations, viewings, visitations, grade size service, and various other arrangements. They serve Muskegon Heights and surrounding areas. For more information, 231-246-7611. That is Carter Funeral Home. And then thirdly, today we are sponsored by Service Pro Oil Change. They are located at 1779 South Getty Street. Service Pro Oil Change provides routine vehicle maintenance, including oil changes, oil filter replacement, fluid checks, safety inspections, tire pressure checks. They also provide checks on belts, lights, windshield wipers. And for more information, you can contact them at 231-531-8888. They are a proud supporter of this radio station. I see my brother Gregory T has popped on. Yes, Greg, we certainly thank our sponsors, and they're very valuable to us. We appreciate them. So we encourage our listeners to go out and support our sponsors. Let's talk about the weather. It has been unseasonably nice these last few days. Today, we had a low of 32 and a high of, do you believe this or not? 56 degrees, although we have a little bit of wind out there today. Tomorrow, we have a 90% chance of rain or wintry mix, low of 25, high of 33. Same for Saturday, as that temperature drops, we have a 55% chance of rain and wintry mix, low of 25, high of 31. Monday, the sun tries to peek out from the clouds. We'll have a low of 31 and a high of 36. On Tuesday, 50% chance of rain, low of 34, high of 40. On Wednesday, expect a wind gust with a low of 18, high of 37. And next Thursday, the temperature drops a bit below freezing as we have a high of 17, low of 27, but expect it to be partly cloudy on that day as well. So that is your weather for the next 7 days. Well, as become a little staple in our program, we like to talk about our five lists, not top five, five lists. Before I do that, did you know today was a holiday? You're probably saying, what holiday, Melvin? What holiday? Today is known as Quitter's Day. Do you know Quitter's Day? At times it's been later in the month, but they say in 2026, January 9th is known as Quitter's Day. You're probably wondering, what is Quitter's Day if you don't know already? Quitter's Day is the day that most people break their New Year's resolutions. They drop off, fall off, decide they're not going to make it this year. So what are some of the top resolutions people make for the year? And if you're in this group, you know who you are. How about to exercise more and lose weight? How about being happy or improve your mental health? One of the top five resolutions is eating healthier, improving your diet, cutting out on the junk food, and eating more vegetables. How about saving more money, doing a better job of budgeting, building up that emergency fund, and cutting down on the frivolous spending? And number five on our list today is, again, improving your physical health, which, again, includes better diet, exercise, eating well, kind of like the first one, exercise more. So how are you doing? First, do you make New Year's resolutions? A lot of people don't make them. A lot of us understand now, I probably won't do it all year. But did you make a New Year's resolution on New Year's Eve, New Year's Day? Did you say, you know what, this year I'm going to do X or Y or Z? Today is January 9th. How are you doing with that? Let me say this. If it's really serious, if you really decided, you know what, this year I'm going to do it, and you fell off January 3rd, you know what? Just get back in there. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. So I want to encourage you, if it was important enough for you to commit to it, you might fail a couple of times, you might have a few setbacks, hang in there. Let's talk at the end of 2026 and see how you've done. All right. That's a little word of encouragement. You know, this being the first show of the year, we've got a few things going on, and we may have some guests come in, but we're getting ourselves organized, acclimated as the new year starts. I do have a few things I can share with you as the program gets started. And again, this program is live on Facebook. As you see the program streaming, you go to WUVS 103.7 to B to our Facebook page. You'll see Community Focus. You can actually interact with me live here in the studio by submitting comments. Those comments do come across to us on the screen here. If they're reasonable, we'll comment on them. We'll make comments, or I may even respond to questions. So feel free to communicate with us live here. February, we're in January, right? But you do know February is Black History Month. And so not too soon for us to start thinking about some of those events that will take place during Black History Month. The past few years, Hackley Public Library has done an outstanding job of presenting programming for Black History Month. So let me share a few of the events that will be taking place at Hackley Public Library during Black History Month. On February 3rd, they kick off the month with comedy and dance. That'll be Tuesday, the 3rd at 5:30 p.m. They're having an art show on February the 14th. They're asking all ages to submit artwork that will be on display. Now, I just talked about New Year's resolutions, but I'm going to share this with you anyway. On February the 7th, we'll have a sweet soul food dessert contest. I got a feeling there's going to be some sweet potato pie show up, maybe some apple cobbler. What are some of those other specialties you like during soul food desserts? But that sounds delightful. On Tuesday, February the 10th, we have Echoes of Harlem by Edie and Mike Evans. And that, again, that'll begin at 5:30 p.m. That is a music presentation. February the 17th, explore the James Jackson Museum of African American History, which is located in downtown Muskegon Heights. On February the 21st, you can research African American roots. That program will be sponsored by the Muskegon County Geological Program. That should be very interesting. You know, if you want to give yourself something to do, a project for Black History Month, trace your family roots. If you get started now, usually many of these programs, and I'm not any of them, none of them are sponsors, 23andMe, Ancestry. They have specials, 50, 60% off. Do your swab and get your DNA results. I've done it. Several members of my family have done it. I can tell you we have found relatives all over the world. and other people have done it. So maybe trace your family roots, find out who you're connected to. You may even define you go beyond Mississippi, Arkansas, Louisiana, and you're blessed enough to again to maybe even to cross the ocean and find some connections. On the 21st Saturday from 2 to 3:30, there'll be a Unity Quilt Squares, and that's for all ages. So that could be exciting and a chance to learn maybe about again the custom and tradition of quilting. Then on February the 23rd, which is a Monday, well, there'll be a hair and health clinic with expert Nietzsche Hood, as well as other special guests. And again, very culturally relevant program. I learned about this from the folks in my household. Obviously, I'm not as involved, and I shouldn't say that because certainly in addition to women and all their hair needs, your brothers, if you have hair, you want to take care of it. And then for some of us, like me and my brother Gregory T, we have these beards, and you can't just let your beard hang on your face, right? So you got to learn what kind of moisturizers and beard wash and what kind of beard balms and oils to use on your face. So maybe show up there and you can get some tips, men, about how to maintain that beard. You don't want that SOS Brillo pad on your face, all right? And so that's February the 23rd, 5:30 p.m. At the Hackley Public Library. So some opportunities to get involved and get going for Black History Month. Again, we hope to have a couple of guests on air in the studio. I've had a few bugs to work out after coming off a couple of week hiatus. And so we hope to get that going. But again, this is Community Focus, and we're here. And we're here live in the studios as we kick off 2026. Actually, it seems like a first Friday, but it's actually the second Friday of the month here in January. And hopefully, again, you have gotten your year off to a good start. Me and my family watched a lot of football over the holidays. And so whatever you did to kind of relax and get yourself going. All right. So I believe we are going to have our first guest coming up pretty soon. And he has been going to see, I believe. Oh, Mr. Childress.
How you guys doing? Can you hear me?
I can hear you. How are you doing?
Doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Yes, sir. And we're a little bit getting ourselves together here, but we're glad to you take out some time to spend with us today. For folks that may not know you, could you just tell our guests who you are, a little bit about yourself and what you're up to these days?
Ira Childress. I am originally from Baldwin, Michigan, not too far from Muskegon. I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with that area. Real close to the legendary Idlewild, Michigan, and Baldwin's a great town near and dear to my heart. Went to Fair State University, had a great time, great experience there, played college football, and then went into working in athletics, which I've been doing for the last 15 years. As you can hear whistles in the background, probably, but now I'm here at the University of Texas at Arlington. I'm the deputy athletic director here and general manager of athletics. Have a long time relationship with PA. Done some work in Muskegon back in the day when we were on the radio doing basketball and football, my PA and myself. So spent a lot of time there in the greater Muskegon area.
All right. At first, I don't think we've met before, but congratulations on your move to Texas. I followed you in the newspapers and reports and followed your career a little bit. So I want to congratulate you. How long have you been down in Texas now?
Yeah, been down in Texas. This is year three. Thank you. Thank you so much. I just love working in athletics, love being a part of it, love being in administration. I played athletics and it was one thing to play, but it's another thing to actually work and really help young people be successful.
Yeah. And you know the station, how we are, you know, and part of this program, we're always trying to speak to young people about life and careers. And, you know, we get a lot, you know, we all grew up carrying a football, shooting a basketball, thinking we're going to be in the NBA or the NFL. You know, we may get a chance to play some sports in college, but, you know, if you like sports, you like them your whole life for the most part. You've been able to make that transition from athlete to being involved. So for some of our young people that may even be blessed enough to go to college and play sports, talk a little bit about the reality of, you know what, I'm not getting drafted, I'm not going pro, but be able to spend a life still around sports.
Yeah, you know, one thing I always tell young people is use athletics as a vehicle and a tool to overall life success. Don't let athletics use you. Yeah. I'll say that again for the people in the back. Use athletics as a tool to be successful in life. Don't let athletics use you. Because I don't care how good you are, whether you're Michael Jordan, LeBron James, you know, whoever that may be, one day the ball is going to stop bouncing. And it's going to be a time where you have to go in, get an application, fill it out, and get a job and have a career. And are you prepared for that? Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of things in athletics that can help you prepare. Time management, teamwork, being able to work as a cohesive unit, being able to articulate and communicate with others amongst your team, being a leader, showing leadership skills. So there's a lot of things that go on in the world of athletics that can help impact your life in a positive way if you translate that over to your career. So those are the things that I try to tell them. And it's great. I played college football. Like I said, it was great. It was a great experience. I enjoyed it, but also knew that that wasn't going to be the end all and be all, because even if you make the pros, that's a very short window. I mean, most professional sports, the life expectancy in terms of being in that sport is like 1 to 3 years. So then what are you going to do? How are you going to make a living, take care of your family, you know, have a positive impact on society? And a lot of those things are dictated with the things you learn from sports. So I think that's very important.
Awesome. And great advice to share with our listeners out there. Ira, as you now in this college environment, what are some of the things that we still want to make sure high school athletes know and understand as they look to make the transition to college?
Yeah, you know, I think the biggest thing is understanding that you're coming to another level. You know, I mean, I was a great high school player, and that was great. Went to the, you know, when I first started, before I went to Ferris, I went to the University of Toledo. And I just remember when I got there, being in a different environment, not only athletically, but, you know, campus-wise, they had this big schedule. And let me give you a quick example of a college athlete's schedule. You're up in the morning. You have breakfast, let's say 7:30 to 8:30 breakfast. Then you from about 8:30 to 1, you're in class. And then from like 1:30 to 3:30, you're in practice. And then after practice, they have what they call a study table. So that take you from about 4:30 to 6:30. And then you're watching film after that. And then you finally get home about 7:30, around 8:30. It's time to go to bed and do it all over again. So it's a regimented schedule where you have to be and do things day in and day out. And I didn't even put weights in there. That's a part of it, too. So, I mean, it's a very, very structured schedule. And so that, I think that's a big difference. And then also the environment. I mean, I was used to being around my friends and my neighborhood and all that stuff. And now I'm with people from all over the country, and they're the best at where they come from.
Yeah.
Get this. I remember running my first 40-yard dash at the University of Toledo, and I ran them with other people. And back home in Baldwin, I was beating everybody by a lot. And when I got to Toledo, I looked to my left and I looked to my right, and people were there. I said, oh, my goodness. They're fast, too.
Yeah, that's good. All right, if you don't mind, we got a question from one of our listeners, Michael Anthony Smith. He says, can you give us a little – he says, hey, Baldwin – How does NIL work for college athletes? And I know that's a big complex issue, but for us lay people, can you just give us a general overview on how that process works?
Yeah, NIL is very, very complex, but it's also very, very simple in this way. It's name, image, and likeness. So mm-hmm. student athletes, a few years back, the NCAA passed a rule where student athletes could get paid based upon their name, image, and likeness. And so what you're seeing now is student athletes all over the country getting paid based upon their name, image, and likeness. But it's different at different levels, you get different money. If I'm at Ferris State, I'm not going to make the same amount of money that you make at Ole Miss. And so yeah, exactly. So as you notice, if anybody watched the game last night, the quarterback from Ole Miss was formerly the quarterback at Ferris State, Trinidad mm-hmm. Chandler. Yes. And, you know, I'm sure he got a significant amount of money to go to Ole Miss. So mm-hmm. that's all. I mean, that's basically what it is. But student athletes now can get paid based upon their name, image, and likeness.
Yeah. Now, is it Texas or Florida that's talked about doing this for high school athletes too, I believe?
Yeah, I think Florida is actually doing it for high school athletes right now. So I don't think Michigan is. You know, unfortunately for your listeners, I don't think Michigan uh-huh. is. But, yeah. but they're doing it. They're definitely doing it in Florida right now, I believe. So yeah, it's here to stay. But my advice to anybody getting involved in that, I think it's great. But the one thing we try to tell our student athletes here, and you know, is understand that, you know, with that financial money that you're getting from a financial standpoint, and just try to understand how to manage it, because yeah. that's very important. And then also it's going to be taxed as well. So there's a lot of different elements. It's not just getting the money. You yeah. know, you have to understand all the other elements.
Yeah. So this time of year, football season's over. Of course, you got sports year round. So what kind of things are you busy with this time of year?
Yeah, I'm the sport administrator. I'm over men's and women's basketball as well. And we have that going on right now. Okay. I also over our development. So we're fundraising. I'm doing fundraising things there. And then also I'm a general manager of athletics. So, I'm working with several different sports at the same time, you know, being the GM. So I have a lot on my plate. And so it's very, very busy. But I enjoy it, man. Every day, let me tell your listeners this. Every day I wake up, it's a blessing. Yeah. It's a blessing because I get an opportunity to work in a space that I absolutely love. So if you're out there and you're thinking about a career, try to go into something that you really love to do, because it makes it a lot easier.
Yes. And I know, Ira, you, like us Muskegon Heights folks, you folks in Baldwin are very proud and have a lot of tradition there. When's the last time you were back in Baldwin?
I was back there actually over the holidays. So nice. I was not too long ago, a few weeks back. And when I got there, it just felt like home. I texted one of my friends. I said, there's no place like home. Yeah. The people that you know, the camaraderie that you grew up with, it's a small community, but it's a great community. You know, I mean, yeah, it has its struggles. I mean, it's one of the poorest counties in the state of Michigan, but the people are rich. And what I mean by rich, not rich and monetarily, rich in their heart. And they're good people. And so you won't find any better food than there is up in Baldwin, Michigan. So if you ever go up there, just love it. Yeah, B-Town, as we call it.
It's B-Town,
It's just a great, great, great place. You know, it's funny because we have a little rivalry, I think, on a basketball court with Muskegon Heights. And,
yes.
You know, and all of that. So did you go to Heights?
Oh, I went to Muskegon Heights. We go back a few years. So, yeah, I'm real familiar with Baldwin area and family have spent time up there. And real, very familiar.
Many years. Okay.
Yes, sir. Yeah. I have a real affinity for the area, though.
Awesome. Awesome.
For sure. So, what's, you've been there 3 years. What's next? I mean, and I love you say, you know, everybody is a privilege to wake up and say they love what they do and they're excited about it. What's next on your radar?
Yeah, I think the next thing for me, and I've made this very public, I mean, my goal is to be a Division I athletic director. And so that's the next thing. I'm, you know, really close. I'm right there. But that's the next goal. And I'm just going to keep working hard until I'm able to achieve that goal. But in the meantime, I'm enjoying my time here at UTA. I'm enjoying helping young people and working with, you know, our coaches and staff every single day, because this is an opportunity opportunity again to impact people's lives and do something I love to do. So, but yeah, so that's my goal one day. And you know, doing that, I want to represent something more to myself. You know, I want to go back to Lake County and Baldwin and talk to those young people there and say, hey, you know what? If I can do it, you can do it. You know, I grew up in, you know, tough situation. It wasn't perfect. I had, you know, obviously, you know, loving mother, loving father, but, you know, we didn't have a lot. But the thing was, we had love and we had hope. And the one thing I always say is I learned to dream outside my surroundings. Yeah. And, you know, sometimes you can have great surroundings. Sometimes you can have tough surroundings, but you can always have that dream of, you know what? There is no dream that has a zip code on it. Okay. Every dream is zip code free, okay. You know, and if that's one thing I would tell your viewers to know that, hey, no matter where you come from, Your dream is valid.
Every dream is zip code free. I'm going to reuse that one.
There you go.
And I'm not sure we got started late, how much time you have, but
just a couple minutes left, but go ahead.
Talk about, have you had mentors that have helped you along the way?
Yes, a lot of them, you know, and just in your, you know, view and area, obviously family, you know, been amazing, but just people up there, you know, that you might know, a guy named Al Nichols, who spent, you know, from Muskegon, he was a huge help and impact on my life in many, many ways. You know, he was an administrator in Baldwin. He was a teacher. I mean, he did a lot of great things there. His wife as well, Mrs. Nichols, she was fantastic, impact on my life. You know, PA, you know, was great, you know, had a great impact on my life positively. So, there's and that's the other thing. Now I'm trying to do that for other people. If you out there and you see somebody that can be a mentor, that you can be a mentor to, help them. You know, Live out that hand, because you never know what could spark somebody to greatness. I once had, unfortunately, some people, you know, way back in the day, a counselor that told me, hey, you know what? I don't think college is for you. And this would be right when I got in high school. Okay. And I said, And I went home and I told my mom, and she said, hey, don't you ever believe that?
Okay.
You know, and now we all these years later, I got multiple degrees and all of that. But if I would have listened to that and hadn't had mentors to say, nah, you don't have to believe that. I mean, you never know where I would be. So don't let anybody kill your dream.
Yeah, you know, for us black men, and whatever we want to call success or just having experience, the idea is important for us to share those with other young men and young women coming along after us.
Exactly, because it's tough, man. And sometimes, you know, you think you don't have hope, or you think, man, we don't have much, you know, many resources and all of that. And I get it. I lived it. But you can do it if you continue to keep going forward. And, you know, whatever your faith is, have a faith and believe in that. And, you know, and just keep working hard. It's not going to be easy, but you can definitely get there. And it's our job, for people who are older and who are establishing their career, to pull along and help young people. They're going to make mistakes. They're not going to have all the answers. But let's continue to be a beacon of light, of positive light in these people, young people's lives. That is so important, because there's somebody out there watching this or watching us on a daily basis that can say, you know what? If they can do it, I can do it. So I think that's really important, Michael. Awesome.
Well, Ira, I know you're terribly busy. I want to thank you for taking a little time to spend with us today. And again, we wish you tremendous success there down at the University of Texas. And maybe we'll catch up again with you in the future, okay?
Thank you. Have a great one. Take care.
All right. We'll see you.
Yeah.
Folks, that was Mr. Ira Childress at the University of Texas, Austin. And I appreciate him taking some time to spend with us as he's followed his career with a tremendous amount of success and a willingness to share what he's learned. So we appreciate that time he spent with us. Now up, we're going to we're going to take a quick commercial break, I believe, and then we'll bring up our next guest. All right, we are back. Will you join me in welcoming no stranger to our program and to this station? Will you welcome me and join me to the program, Mr. William Kitchen?
How you doing? Kitchen, how you doing? Doing pretty good. How about yourself, Mr. Burns? Happy New Year to you, too. It's been a good year. 8 days in, is it? Yeah, it's been a good year so far. No complaints.
All right, and let me offer you condolences to you and your family. I know you have a have recent loss in your family, so we'll get that. Take care of that.
Thank you.
So, how you got the year off to a good start? How are things going?
Man, you know, I always kind of say life is a roller coaster ride.
Yeah,
you know, peaks and valleys, highs and lows. It's about 8 days in, and man, I feel like we kicked the new year off good, from a personal perspective as well as from a city council perspective. We got some things decided on that I believe would push the city forward a little bit better. So, really, no complaints right now for me.
Okay. So, I guess you know we know each other before we just get to talking and catching up. Why don't you briefly tell people a little bit about who you are and a couple of things that you're doing.
I'm the newest elected official in Muskegon Heights to the city council. My background, at least career-wise, has been in advocacy, peer navigation, recovery coaching, and coordinating reentry services for people throughout Muskegon County, Ottawa, as well as Kent.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you've been on city council about 60 days now. Probably feels like months already.
Years.
So tell us what you know. Like years. Let's talk about that first 100 days. What have the first couple of months been like as you sat on city council?
It's funny because when I won the election, I was thinking to myself, you know what? I'm not even going to say much. I'm not even going to talk for the first 100 days, really, right? I'm just sit back. I'm going to listen. And I'm going to do, you know, the things that are necessary in terms of being a student, being a learner. Uh-huh. But when I got there, I knew that I couldn't stay quiet.
Okay.
My nature wouldn't allow me to do so. Mm-hmm. And so these first 60 days, we've accomplished some things and have done some things that I believe is well to note. We have approved for training for department heads across City Hall.
Okay.
That was great. We've approved for requesting for the audit to be done, the forensic audit to be done there in Muskegon Heights. That was huge. A lot of people in Muskegon Heights and outside of the city lines have asked for a forensic audit, have said that they've suspected all type of malfeasance, right? I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. However, what I am sure of is that the people asked for it and the people got it. Proud to know that our rec department is back established. So we're going to be taking a hard look at that. We've been able to allocate some funds. I actually ran on that during my campaign that I will support and do everything that I can to advocate for the city's rec department to be reopened. Okay. And we've done that the moment that we've approved our budget. So, and that's another thing. We approved our 2026 budget. So we're looking good. It's some setbacks, but we're looking good.
Okay. I know, and folks ask, where is the city in terms of looking for a new city manager?
Right. So right now, our intern is doing, for me, from my perspective, an excellent job. Mm-hmm. She has engaged in a lot of battles that are occurring right now.
Okay.
I would like to see her carry that out.
Okay.
She was there to initiate a lot of some of the changes that we're implementing. I would like for her to carry that out and see how that goes. And we can satisfy the MML and, the city manager search as we move forward. One candidate that we really took a good look on decided that Muskegon Heights wasn't the best decision for him.
Okay.
And then there's another candidate that we're considering as well. But, I mean, for me, Miss Merriweather has really stepped up to the plate and is really doing some things behind the scenes that a lot of people don't understand and know that I believe if she see it through, it can only be a blessing and a benefit to the city.
Okay. So in your time, again, you say from running to I'm going to sit here and be quiet to I'm in the thick of things. What's been the biggest surprise to you in the time you've been there?
the biggest surprise for me being there is the inability for us to draw on a consensus more than what we should, or at least what we have. Everybody on council pretty much knows each other. Somehow is connected or grew up with each other, something, right? Sometimes it becomes difficult to draw a consensus with people whom you should have the most favor with. So that was eye-opening for me, that everything has to kind of be a challenge and a battle and a long, drawn-out process. I believe in acceleration. I believe that if we know what we're facing, we identify the problems, assess the problems, create a solutionary strategy towards those problems, then we should just move. We should just act. Okay. I think a lot of the position that the city is in comes from a lack of action. Okay. And it comes from a lack of being able to posture ourselves in an offensive way. Okay. It's like we always playing defense and waiting to last minute to do things. Okay. That shouldn't be the case. We cannot survive as a city if we continue to be reactive instead of proactive.
Okay. Good. What about, the city? We sit in the city and we're part of a larger county. Any thoughts about how we fit in the county and even in the state in terms of working with other municipalities and other agencies and organizations across the state?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people, and they may not want me to say this, but a lot of people don't respect Muskegon Heights. And to some degree, I can't blame them when we disrespect our own mayor from a council perspective.
Okay.
How can anyone respect us as a council if we won't demonstrate respect to our own mayor? See, people on the outside looking, right? They may not comment. They may not let you know that they're viewing you, but people are seeing how we treat one another. And so until we can start treating one another with a little bit of more love, more grace, people from the outside would not want to come in and deal with a hostile council or a council that doesn't respect the mayor, that doesn't serve their business interest or organizational interest if we can't get along with each other. So
now, when you talk about that disrespect, we talk about disrespect versus disagreement and how those look, how they look.
Absolutely. So I can disagree with you on the time of the day. You can tell me it's 10 o'clock. I could be like, no, I disagree, bro. I think it's 11. Well, why you feel that way? Well, I feel that way because of X, Y, and Z. We just have a mutual disagreement. It's civil. Disrespect comes in when we have a disagreement and it turns personal. It becomes hostile. It becomes childish. So now our disagreements are now, I'm saying, hey, I don't like you as a person because of X, Y, and Z. This has nothing to do with my person, right? This has nothing to do with me. It has something to do with my office and how I serve. And there's no civil discourses that are enhanced on council that will lead us to further agreements with one another because we're too busy trying to disrespect one another. And, and I'll be honest, I somewhat have kind of picked up that baton as well. If anybody have watched our meetings or have come to our meetings, I'll call a thief in a heartbeat, right? I'll call out disrespect in a heartbeat, but I'm being truthful.
Yeah.
I'm being truthful. But more to the point, we have to be able to, I respect each one of my colleagues to the fullest. Like there's not one single person that sits on council that I don't respect. The reality is we haven't found a way to work together well. We're a team, not individuals. Yeah. And until we figure out how to work together as a team, as a unit, we will continue to have dissension. I'm not saying anything new. Everybody knows that thing exists there. Yes. But I do believe we have an opportunity to move forward collectively if we put aside our own self-interest, our own egos and pride, and say, hey, here's some problems. How do we solve it? What's your ideas?
Yeah. Okay. And I got to try not to editorialize and let you talk, but what's one, you've been on there 2 months now, and, I noticed from my experience, there's getting elected and there's serving. and how people yeah. approach you, some of the things people ask you, you go, no, we can't do that. You know? So have you had that experience where people come and you go, you know, that ain't quite what the city
does. I'm trying to figure out how so many people in Muskegon just got my phone number.
Now look, I'll tell you a story of what a past mayor, he had about 1,000 votes. He said 4,000 people mm-hmm. told me they voted for me. Well, yeah. They can all take it off.
So many people knew. I never knew so many people knew me every yeah. day. So yeah, there's a difference between being elected and serving.
Uh-huh.
But I was always a servant. That's how I got elected.
Yes.
I was always looking for and finding myself in positions to where I can serve the people mm-hmm. and or the community at large. So mm-hmm. I was elected because of my servitude.
Yes.
But a servant's heart, the posture of the heart as a servant, as a leader, is something that we have to get back to.
Yes.
The people know that I'm a servant, and so they call me, man, I got a flood on my street. Man, they need to put the ice down. Man, what y'all gonna do with this and that, right? Mm-hmm. And I never complain about it because I pray for it.
Yes.
You can't complain about things that you pray for or else it'll get removed from you. Mm-hmm. So I try not to complain about it. I welcome it with open arms because I told the people while I was campaigning, I would be accessible. I told the people that while I was campaigning, I would be transparent. I would be truthful. I would be honest. Yes. I told people while I was campaigning that whatever issues that we were facing as a city and as a council, I would notify them of this.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm speaking out about certain things, it's not me trying to be divisive. It's me standing on the promises that I made to my community that I would allow them an entry into what's really going on inside City Hall. Because for so long, we've wanted to know, we've had questions, and no one has answered them. Mm-hmm. So I'm just answering them. That's what I ran on, promises kept. Mm-hmm. I promised you that I would be away and do a thing and fight for you. And that's exactly what I'm hoping that I'm doing. And I'm doing it in a way that benefits the people.
Yeah, I saw one of your experiences a little earlier was you got a chance to go out and ride with the public works director and kind of be hands-on and just kind of see firsthand what's yeah. taking place. So what was that experience like?
Oh, man, it was provoked because I was getting so many calls. And even in my messenger on Facebook, people were just reaching out concerned about the streets and the roads.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have an answer to give them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I believe as a leader, if I don't have an answer for you, let me go get it for you. Mm-hmm. Right? Let me go make a phone call. Let me go sit with somebody. If I can't provide you with an answer, then it's my job then as a leader to go figure it out and get you that answer. Mm-hmm. And so I reached out to our director of DPW, Kat Guy, and I shared with him some of the concerns and the complaints that the citizens were having. And he invited me in. Come on, bro. Hop in the truck with me. Let's go around and see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we did, street by street, row by row, alley by alley. And I even kind of captured some of the videos while we were riding them around. What I would like to really express to the people as well is, and I don't want people to stop, you know, calling or texting or anything, but I'm mm-hmm. just one person.
Yes.
Right? I can't provide certain changes, especially overnight changes. Mm-hmm. That it's not in my power to do. And right. so I've tried to be very, very respectful in how I respond to my people because they demanding.
Yes.
We got some demanding people in our city. And I try to explain to them, like, while I empathize with you, I don't necessarily have certain powers to just be able to do certain things.
Mm-hmm.
But I can lead you in the right direction. I can yeah. connect you to the right person.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, part of it is sometimes just getting people to the right resources. And I think I found that is just giving people some kind of answer. You know, people call sometimes down. It's like, you know what? Just to call back and say, I'm sorry, we can't do that. At least they heard from somebody. Yeah. Or, hey, look, it's going to be another sure. month. Or, but they heard something back. You know, they felt heard.
They heard something.
Yeah. Yeah. So you got any plans to go out with any other departments and spend some time?
Yeah, for sure. Police. I want to get out with the police.
Uh-huh.
So if y'all see me riding around,
that'll put you in the front seat.
I haven't been arrested.
The roll the windows down and let you.
No handcuffs.
What do you say? No, advertise that in advance so everybody know, huh?
Mm-hmm. So I will be doing that. Our public safety is important.
Yes. Yeah. Have you had opportunity to talk, interact with any council people from the other municipalities?
Yeah, I try to always, and it's 103.7, right?
Yes, sir.
Yep. Somebody was asking about the station. I've reached out to a couple people because, again, I ran on that as well, that I would extend my hand across territorial lines. Mm-hmm. So, and I see I look at what downtown is doing. And a lot of times we get into the habit of trying to compare downtown and Muskegon Heights. Yes. These are two different infrastructures, two different municipalities, mm-hmm. with two different operation systems. Yes. So just because one city may be able to do a thing doesn't mean that this city can.
Yeah.
Right. I'll be honest with you, and I'll be honest with my people. We don't even have a human resources department.
Mm-hmm.
We don't even have a finance director.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So when I reach across the lines to try to collaborate with others, how can that be successful when what I need to be doing is collaborating in Muskegon Heights to find us, or at least contribute to finding us an HR, a finance director? How can I contribute to that? Sure. So charity starts at home.
Mm-hmm.
Our city hall is ran by Skeleton's crew.
Mm-hmm.
There is a lack of administrative personnel that can man the stations in City Hall.
Mm-hmm.
That is a problem. Okay. So how can I contribute to fixing that problem? Because when we're operating at full capacity and we're doing the things that we need to be doing as a municipality, it makes the hand across to the other side a little bit more respected.
Mm-hmm.
If someone is reaching across to the other side for a collaboration and we ain't taking care of home first, what type of signal are we sending partners and investors?
Mm-hmm.
So we have to learn how to take care of home first. And, you know, I'm not beating down my city. I'm not beating down the people that are there. What mm-hmm. I'm saying is we haven't done some necessary things that should have been done, which has resulted in the reason why the city is crippled.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm pointing out a problem only to say it's solvable, and I'm here to help contribute to that solution.
Okay. Yeah. Now, you talk about the idea of businesses, and I know some things you probably can't share, but business growth, economic growth, what's your thoughts on that and where we're headed in the coming year?
Well, Muskegon Heights possess so much building, so many buildings and so much land.
Mm-hmm.
Just sitting there. We have to develop a way to where we open for business. We signal to the developers, come build here, mm-hmm. right? We said to our community, buy your houses here. We have enough of it, right? But we haven't found a way to facilitate that exchange. And that exchange will help generate revenue for the city. That's one mm-hmm. part.
Yes.
The second part is, and I'm probably going to make some people that I love dearly mad. We have people that are sitting on properties for the last 10, 15, 20 years, just sitting there, mm-hmm. deteriorating and decaying.
Yeah.
Some of those properties have probably breached contract on what they were supposed to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
In cases like that, those properties should revert back to the city and we should sell them again.
Mm-hmm.
These are my thoughts and my ideas, not that of the council, but these are definitely my thoughts and ideas. Mm-hmm. When we have people who have been sitting on properties for decades and have abandoned them, we need to be able to figure out how do we redevelop that property to where it's a blessing and a benefit for the city.
Mm-hmm.
I'm tired of looking at broke down buildings and lands that are not being developed and, you know, people that want to come in and do things and it just can't get done because we haven't figured out a way to move it forward. Yeah. So one of my primary jobs this year is to figure out how do we move forward with generating revenue for the city.
Yes.
So that's one of my missions.
Yeah.
I've kept to every promise I said that I would support and contribute to. I've stuck to each promise. And that's one that I intend to stick to as well.
Yeah. Bible talks about being poor like a curse, and the idea that, you know, a city has to have money. You know, when a vacant building, a vacant lot means it's not generating revenue, but there's still a demand for that service, for that property. So, you know, there has to be revenue generation, and you know, it's better if we all share it than the few of us.
Absolutely.
Take that on. Yeah. We have a couple minutes left. I don't know if you heard me earlier. January 9th is called Quitter's Day. Because they said that last year, I think, was January 17th. From people who make New Year's resolutions, January 9th is the day where they say most people will give up, quit, realize they're not going to make it, have broken their New Year's resolution. Did you make any New Year's resolutions, and have you made it to January 9th?
So, yeah, one of my resolutions was to stop making people mad at me.
So January 2nd, you broke that.
Yeah, it already happened. Yeah, that didn't even last a week. Nope. What I will say before we close is that it has been one of the greatest honors and privileges that I've had to be able to serve on council, even with my colleagues. Like, I don't like a lot of my colleagues, but I love them. See the difference?
Yes.
I don't got to like you to love you, right? Mm-hmm. Because my motive is to see us win.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So I need to express that because it's important.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't get along with one another, that doesn't mean that it has to result into disrespect. It doesn't have to result in feuding or paralyzing a city.
Mm-hmm.
I know how to not like you and love you at the same time. That's what my God teaches me to do. Love conquers all.
Yes.
And so I love each and every single one of my colleagues, some more than others.
Yes.
But the reality is, I'm honored to work with them. Like most of them I've known my entire life since I was a baby, right? Yes.
Uh-huh.
And so it's an honor for me to be able to work with my colleagues. I think sometimes the message gets convoluted when I'm so passionate about what I believe in and how I want to push the city forward. But I never want nobody to get the wrong impression. My teammates are loved, and I look forward to working with them every council meeting, figuring out a way for us to move forward. And I believe they respect me in the same light, even when they mad at me, because I consider each and single one of them my family. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to say that so people won't get misconstrued as if I don't care for my family, for my teammates. Mm-hmm. And I love each and every single one of them.
Yeah. You got a message here from Vernell Smith Sr. He said, keep up the good work.
Yeah. Thank you, brother. He one of the ones that reached out to me, man, in the beginning. Like, if you need some advice, some consulting, a conversation, an ear to listen to, I'm here and I'm present. So I appreciate him. There was also some comments made by some people who doesn't really care about skiing and hikes, about merging hikes in downtown. That has never been a conversation that I had, nor is it a conversation piece that I would even entertain.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a tiger. I'm going to stay a tiger. Yeah. I'm going to remain a tiger independently with full autonomy. Right. Okay. Uh-huh. So, yeah, we don't believe social media hype. Muskegon Heights is not merging, nor are we in talks and conversations to merge with any other city. And the people who wants to posture this rumor doesn't really serve our interest at heart.
Okay. Well, we heard to hear first from you. And as you said, don't believe some of those things you see on social media. If you don't want to give out your phone number, how can folks reach you if they have questions or want to get in touch with you?
I'm on Facebook, Councilman William Kitchen. Okay. You can also call me 231-750-7585. Okay. Sometime I believe next week I'll start opening up days and times at City Hall, where people from the community can just filter in and talk to me.
Okay.
So if they have questions and want to kind of like be personal with it, they can come up to City Hall, speak with me. I'll be distributing and dispersing in days and times that they can do that. Because again, a lot of our people just got questions and they just looking for a conversation to, you know, what we doing and where we going. And if I can provide that answer for my people, I would love to be able to do that.
All right. Once again, folks, this is William Kitchen, Councilman William Kitchen, Muskegon Heights City Council. William, again, want to wish you a happy new year. Thanks for spending some time with us. And
shout out to Melody Knox. Before I forget, Melody Knox, we put on the program tomorrow. Yes. Please visit the page and get the information. It's a men's panel about healing. Yes. So yes. A lot of men need to be there. A lot of women that support men need to be there. Contact me for further information. It's tomorrow at 1:00. So if anybody is interested, please come out, show some love.
Yeah, that's 4300 Grand Haven Road. I was going to be there, but I had a funeral. I was going to be on the panel with you tomorrow, but it should be a tremendous program. All right. William, thanks again. Take care and check in with us from time to time, okay?
Will do, man. Thanks for having me. Love y'all.
All right. Take care now. All right, folks, this has been Community Focus, our first live program of 2026. It only gets better and better as the year goes along. So Fridays, 2:00, set your phones, mark your calendars if you still have paper calendars. And we'll see you here again next Friday. Go out and be a blessing to somebody.